asked me about the manger and about the nativity and about Jesus' birth. And so remember, we're doing back to basics 101. And so we're going to do some 101 today. Y'all ready for some Christmas 101? Everybody ready for some Christmas 101? It's going to be as simple can be. If it gets any more simple, I don't know what's going to happen. Okay? Look at somebody and tell them God is so good. All right, turn to the book of Luke. Turn to the book of Luke. I think you're going to really be, I think when this is all over with, you're going to say, wow, I didn't realize the simplicity was so powerful. Amen? Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, there's going to be more than one service because I want to just, even though it's simplistic, there's a message. And I hope that you hear a message that you haven't ever heard before. Because when the Holy Spirit started speaking to me, I heard a message I had never heard before. So I'm believing that you're getting ready to hear something too. It's going to be very powerful. Let's go here and let's just go with Luke chapter 1. And we're just going to read a few verses, not the whole thing that's got written up there. Luke chapter 1. And let's go to verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed thou art among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind the manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Wouldn't you like to hear that today? Amen. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? See, some people try to say that when it says she's a virgin, it just meant that she was young. No, this woman was pure as the snow. She knew not a man, never been with a man. And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also shall this holy thing, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing, y'all say this, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Stretch forth your hands this way. Matter of fact, I'm getting a little bit caught up before the horse here because all we got going on today. I want all the deacons coming up here. Come on up here. Anybody need an anointing in their life today, anointing on their bodies? If you do, come on up here. We're going to pray for you right now. Okay, well, y'all going to pray for me then. Come on, let's pray for the service and pray for me. Lay it on me. Supercharge. Okay, and I'll do it. All right, here you go. Go ahead. Amen. 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 All right. There was a couple. I heard about this couple. This couple had been married for 50 years. Never had any arguments. Never had any complaints. They actually seemed to be, it was like the perfect marriage, perfect couple. They had a church anniversary party. At a church anniversary party, someone asked the husband the secret of their success. He said, oh, they traveled a lot. He said, really? He said, what did you do? He said, for our 25th anniversary, I took her to China. I said, wow, what a gift. He said, what did you do for the 50th anniversary? He said, I went and got her and brought her back. Okay. Christmas 101. How many want to hear some Christmas 101? Praise God. So here we go. I want you to tell you, look, this whole book of Luke, the book of Matthew, it's just prophecy after prophecy and promise after promise. And so here's what I want to tell you something. We're going to start, like I said, simplistic. It's very simplistic. These are questions people have asked me. And so because they've asked me these questions, I decided, let's go ahead. I don't feel like I decided on my own. I feel like the Lord put it in my heart to just do something very simplistic and just go through different people in the nativity story and explain what they were doing. Okay? And then how it does for us today. So first, every promise and every prophecy in the Bible all contain certain elements. You know it's from God because they all contain the same elements. Although the message may be different, although the timing may be different, although the people being used in each of these prophecies and the countries or whatever, even though they're different, the outline is the same. The skeleton may be the same. The meat's different, but the skeleton's the same. So here it is. The very first thing. When God's getting ready to do something, the first thing he has is a proclamation. And that's the word. Okay, you're having a problem. You have a problem in your life, or you're getting ready to do something, or you're asking God for direction. He's going to give you a proclamation. But after the proclamation, here's where people miss it. This is the part you got to remember, because this is where so many people lose out. God would bless you more than you ever would imagine. He could do something in your life. He could do something with your family. He could do something with your marriage. He could do something on your job. If you didn't skip this part. This is the most important part. First, there's a proclamation. You've prayed to God. God, you're in the altar, you're praying. God has done something for you. You feel the touch of God in your life. Then comes the preparation. Wow. The wait. Nobody likes to wait. You know, we don't like to wait so much that we have microwaves. We don't like to wait so much that we have cars with big engines in it. We don't like to wait so much that we've got cell phones. I mean, we can just, it's amazing. We don't have to wait. But God says, if you want me to move in your life, you're going to have to wait. Amen. There's going to come a time when God's working, and he's working behind the scenes, so there's the preparation. Mighty Army just a few days ago says, once you see the door open, don't consider the wait as punishment, but it was preparation for that door to open wide. So there's proclamation, there's preparation, and then there's presentation. What's the presentation? That's the work. That's when God begins to move in your life just like he promised, just like he said, just like he does. But they don't just stop there. Once God starts working in your life, it never just stops there. Next, there's going to be something called the principle. The principle, of course, is in his will, is when he does a prophecy. Remember, a prophecy, there is the immediate context, there's the future context, and then there's the eternal principle. So the eternal principle, again, is when God just doesn't just do it for you, he will do it for somebody else. The same thing he did for you, he'll do for somebody else. Look at somebody and say, if he did it for you, he'll do it for me. Tell somebody that. Amen. Amen. So here we go. Here's every promise. Now, here's the question. Now, some of you theologians out here, you may disagree with me, but that's okay. I might not agree with you either. So here we go. Ready? The very first person we talk about is Gabriel. I mean, here, Gabriel, blow your horn. Amen. Let's read this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee unto Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women. Now, here it goes. This is the question that I've had asked. Why did God use Gabriel? Of course, I hear someone too go, why not? Well, okay, God doesn't just do something. He'll just throw it out there. Every time God does something, even for you, it always has a purpose. Always. And it's always to build, not to tear down. So why not Michael? Why not the archangel, other archangels? According to Catholic tradition, there's three archangels, which would be Michael and Gabriel and Raphael. According to the Talmud and other things, there's seven archangels, and they're all named. And so many Jewish writings has all these angels and all these archangels and their names. But in the King James Version, the only one that's called the archangel would be Michael. Although every place else calls Gabriel an archangel also. So let me just kind of put some, lay something on you. Ready? Michael, you see, there's tens of thousands of angels. God chose Gabriel instead of Michael. Why? Why don't you think something about Michael? Michael was a very special angel. Sorry, say agent. Secret agent, man. He was a special angel. He was a warring angel. Y'all say warring. He was a warring angel, which meant that Michael, you see in the book of Jude, you see other places, when Michael comes up, Michael's always taking names and doing other things. All right? So Michael's the warring angel. So again, Michael was sent to Israel. Now, when you talk about Mary and you're talking about Jesus, Jesus was born not just for the Jews, but he was born for the whole world. Amen? So now here's where Gabriel comes in. I want to paint a little picture for you, because what I'm going to tell you, some of the commentaries disagree, but that's okay, because they're commentaries. That's what somebody believes. But after reading the Jewish traditions and the Jewish writings and literature, I believe I'm on the spot. If I'm not, God will forgive me because I'm doing my best. Ready? Watch this now. I love this. Let's pack it right there. God was about to use Gabriel to proclaim the seed. Wow. Y'all think about that. If you're taking notes, write that down. God used Gabriel to proclaim the seed. Now look at this now. God chose Gabriel to talk to Daniel. He chose Gabriel to talk to Daniel twice. First to tell about the second coming of Christ. And then he chose Gabriel to talk about the first coming of Christ. So if he's going to talk to Daniel, and now who better to tell Mary, not Michael, who's the warring angel, because Jesus was going to come and bring peace on earth. Amen? So Gabriel, God's consistent. He's consistent with his method. He's consistent with his message and his messenger. So a lot of commentaries say it was Michael. I really don't believe it. I believe that not this part, but it's getting ready to happen. Listen. Because Gabriel announced Jesus is first and second. I believe one day soon, you're going to hear Gabriel announce again. The Bible says, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the voice of the archangel is coming, is here, is at our doorstep, it's about to happen in front of our very eyes. We're about to see the rapture. I hope you're rapture ready. I hope you're getting ready, because I believe some commentaries think it's Michael. I don't. I think it's Gabriel, because guess what's going to happen? We're going to be called up, and we're going to, listen, it's going to be the next coming of Jesus. He's not going to touch the ground. He's going to just come in the sky, and he's going to come, and he's going to say, come up, children, you've had enough. Come on and be with me. And we're going to be with you. Y'all looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. That ought to get you so excited you'll be running around in here. Amen. So again, why did God get Gabriel to proclaim the seed? Now, secondly, let's read this. The next question, why Mary? Look, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Next question I get all the time, why Mary? Why Mary? Why Mary? Well, let's build a little case here. Number one, the Bible kept telling us that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. It was going to be a virgin birth. She was a virgin. Okay? She had never known a man. Okay? There was thousands of virgins there. But she had more going for her than just being the virgin. Why was it necessary that she was a virgin? Watch this. Nowhere in the Bible do you hear a child named as the seed of a woman. It's always the seed of a man. Everywhere you look in history, it's the seed of a man. Only one time in history do we have the seed of a woman, and that's with Jesus Christ. Amen? We're going to go a little further in just a minute. I told you, this is trying to set some groundwork here. Seed of a woman meaning that, watch, she had to be a virgin in order that she would be pure. She had to be a virgin because a man could not do what Jesus was going to be doing. Jesus had to be 100% God and 100% man. Not 50-50, 100% God, 100% man. So in order to be 100% God, then God was going to have to take care of the fertilization. And the seed would have to be that of a woman. No man was involved. So here's Mary. She's a virgin. And God already said in Genesis 3:15, the seed of a woman. Secondly, she was willing. Because after God told her, you're going to have a baby, and it's going to be from me, and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you're going to bear a child. She said, whatever you need me to do. Well, that takes care of a lot of people right there. Okay, God, I'm willing to do whatever I want to do, but I'm not willing to do what you want me to do. Well, come on, y'all. Y'all still looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Look. She was a virgin. She's pure. She was willing, whatever. And number three, she believed. She said, whatever you said, God, it's going to be fine. And she took it and she believed it and she held it down deep inside. So now, if Gabriel proclaimed the seed, Mary would produce the seed. Hold on. Listen carefully, because I'll be getting deep now. Mary produced the seed. What I'm talking about, watch this. What did she believe? She believed in the promises of God, that God would send the Messiah. She believed in the power of God to do what he had promised. She believed in giving praise to God. She said, glory to God for what you've done. And she believed that he would fulfill his purpose. You know, if you look in the book of Luke and the book of Matthew, one lineage traces back to Joseph. The other one traces back to Mary. Amen? So they both come from the line of David. Both of them, their lineage. And also, if they hadn't had all these problems along the way, guess who would have been a king of Israel? Joseph. But because of all the problems that they had, Joseph is a carpenter. So now watch. It was in her lineage to produce and carry the seed. God is looking for somebody today that's willing to carry the seed. Now you say, wait a minute, we don't have any more Jesus. No. His seed today. Vision. God has put in our hearts vision. Something to do for him. Something powerful for him. Something that only we can do only through him. Amen. A vision has to be bigger than us, has to require more than us to get it done. God has given everybody a vision in here. But are you willing? Are you willing to let God give you that vision? And number three, and I'm gonna quit. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Why Joseph? How would you feel if you had just got engaged with somebody? Just got engaged with them. You had never been with them physically. And they pop up and tell you, you know, we've been engaged now for quite some time. I just need to tell you something. I'm pregnant. Well, who are you pregnant? Whoa. What do you mean you're pregnant? How did you get pregnant? Well, God did it. Okay, tell me another one. This has never happened before. Never happened again. Tell me how you, not knowing a man, can be pregnant. And she said, God did it. And he said, whoa. Now, to be espoused in that day, you were legally binded together in a marriage contract. Although you have not consummated the marriage until the ceremony, you were legally bound. You were man and wife. You just had not consummated it yet. So, in order to get out of this engagement, it required a divorce. But let's go ahead and take it a little bit deeper. Not only did it require a divorce, for a woman to have that happen to her during all this, they literally, by the law, could stone her. So now, watch this now. According to Jewish customs and traditions, she's already broke the contract because she, in man's eyes, she's pregnant and it's not Joseph's. So she's broke the contract. Not only she broke the contract there, but because she's pregnant out of wedlock with Joseph, remember, it's legally binding, just like marriage. Because she's pregnant, it looks like she broke it. She could be stoned. So Joseph was a just man, and he loved Mary. And so he said, you know what? I'm not going to go through all this and get her stoned. I'm going to just keep it quiet, and I'm going to privately put her away. And that word put away means divorce. That's what put away means. I'm going to quietly divorce her, and that way nobody will know anymore what's going on. But you know what? He didn't fully understand what was going on. So the angel comes to him and says, hold on, what Mary told you is true. She's pregnant with the Son of God. And so now he understands. So now he's going to take her and going to keep in contract with her. So now not only is he not fully understanding the plan of God, now he's not fully understood because people look at him and say, what are you doing? People back in that day said, Mary, obviously it was a soldier's child. So Jesus was considered a soldier's child. Here's Mary and Joseph. Joseph does not understand the plan of God. Joseph, honestly, is not being understood because now he's pulling her through her side. And so now the fires of trial just keep on coming. Here he goes. He pulls her to him. As he pulls him to her, and he goes ahead and embraces the marriage itself. Now he's got to go to Bethlehem. So he carries Mary to Bethlehem. When he gets there, he has another dream. Says they're coming for him. You better take him to Egypt. So here he goes. He's going back and forth and back and forth. So watch this. Why did God choose Joseph? Let me ask you a question. Just let me ask you quickly. How many times have you not fully understood God's plan? How many times were you not fully understood? And in the middle of it, you're facing fiery trials. What would you do? Would you keep on serving God, or would you change?
You see, why Joseph? He was called to protect the seed.
Gabriel was called to proclaim the seed. Mary was called to produce the seed. Joseph was called to protect the seed. Now watch this.
He was chosen to protect the plan of God and to protect the seed of God. Now let's bring it down to us. It was his purpose. He was born for this. Some of y'all, God's trying to talk to you and you're going, I don't know, God, I'm not sure. And all this COVID going on, all this stuff's happening around us, not realizing you were born for this. Whatever it is, you're born for it. God's doing something inside of you. So it was in his lineage. He was literally could have been king if it hadn't, a couple hundred years before, had problems. He would have been king. So look, God is still looking for somebody that's willing to take the bumps and bruises and protect his seed. In us, the seed is the vision. Get ready. Get ready to close. DC, come on up here and get ready to start playing something. This Christmas story goes way beyond Bethlehem and the manger. It goes way beyond the cross and the resurrection. It goes way beyond this yearly celebration that we do. It goes deep in our hearts. It's lived out daily in our lives. God has proclaimed the vision. God has produced the vision. And now in us, and now it's time to protect the vision and let God do something special in this church right now at this hour. His vision cannot be tore up by COVID. His vision cannot be tore up by the election. His vision cannot be tore up by anything. The only thing that will stop his vision is if you stop believing. That's it. That's it. Everybody stand. We're going to take in some more people next week. The shepherds and the wise men and why Bethlehem and all that. But right now, we just want to go three. I didn't want to get too far into it. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. No looking around. Things have gotten crazy in the last, well, this whole year has been crazy. I believe with all my heart, we're getting ready to see the rapture take place. I believe with all my heart, Jesus is on his way back. Back in the old days, we used to say something like, I believe Gabriel's licking his lips. Before a trumpet player played the trumpet, he'd lick his lips. I believe Gabriel's licking his lips. We're on the launching pad. But when Paul was talking to the Thessalonians, because he said Jesus was coming, they had quit their jobs and gone up on the mountain and waited for God to come back. And he said, no, that's not what I meant. He's coming, but you don't know when he's coming. You get busy working for God. I know that things get tough. I know there's been a whole lot of hopes and dreams shattered. I know there's a whole lot of things with this COVID that you don't understand. I know some of the things you do because of this COVID and other things, people don't understand you. God's got this. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. I know everybody in here, you have felt the proclamation in your spirit of visions. Corporate visions together. Corporate, I mean in the church or corporate with your family. Individual visions.
And God produced the vision, the seed in you, like He did with Mary. And now, just like Joseph, you're to protect that vision. And of course, the way to protect that vision is not to give up, not to give in. Things are hard. I understand that. Things are different. I was walking in the drugstore Friday night. And as I was putting my mask on, I thought about all my people that had died and people in the church that had died before 2020. And I said, I wonder what they would think if they saw us all walking around with these masks on. What would they be saying? Because they'd never seen anything like it. The only thing I could say back to them would be, welcome to 2020. Don't let this year rob your vision. The vision is still inside of you. The vision is still there. God is still moving in your life. God wants you to protect the vision. Be a Joseph. Be willing to move when you don't understand it. Be willing to let God use you when you don't quite understand what He's doing. Be willing to be misunderstood. And just stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask a question, and this is going to be the beginning of your healing, I really believe. If you're here today, and you feel like your vision, I'm not talking about physical vision, I'm talking about spiritual vision. If you feel like your spiritual vision has been snapped, has been tugged on, has been pushed down, on the verge of being snatched away. Nobody else is looking around. Every eye closed. Every head bowed. Would you put that hand up? That's me. I, there you go. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. I feel the vision trying to be snatched away from me by all the things that are happening around me. But God, let me be a Joseph. Let me be willing to stand up no matter what. Be willing to do what I'm supposed to do. Help me, God, to be what You've called me to be. Reignite that vision within me and help me, Lord, to move forward in it. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here today. Let's get real deep and real honest. It's gone beyond squelching and down. That vision so far behind you that you think it'll never be seen again. That it's over. I'm here to tell you, nope, God still got this. Even if you think it's already gone, if you're here today, nobody looking around, every head bowed, you feel like it's so far behind you, you wonder if God would ever resurrect it, would you raise that hand? Bless them, Lord, bless them, Lord, bless them, Lord. I want us all to pray together. I need to go back this one thing really strong. God made the proclamation. You may haven't seen the presentation yet because you're in the preparation. And it's in the preparation, the incubator. It's in the darkness. The caterpillar climbs that tree. It doesn't understand. It spins that cocoon. It's in that cocoon. For whatever the incubation period is, in the dark, its life is totally changed. In the dark. But when it comes out of the dark place, it has to fight its way out of the dark place. Fight its way out. Once it fights its way out of the dark place, something beautiful emerges. I'm here to tell you today, some of y'all are getting ready to see something beautiful emerge if you don't stop fighting. Fight, fight, fight. Let's pray together. Y'all pray out loud with me. Lord, here I am. I need You to touch me, to restore my vision, to help me recover my hopes and dreams. Use me as you did years ago in a very powerful way. Even though 2020 has robbed so much, it cannot, it will not rob the vision that you gave me. I trust you wholeheartedly this day to reestablish that vision in my heart. And I know I will be used again in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, I know I've been talking about, we're going to talk about how to live in this crazy day, Christian-wise, but last week the Lord put on my heart to kind of start a little preview, and we're talking about holiday stress. It was very good last week. We had a real good time, but we're talking about being stressed out. We're going to be talking about it for another couple of weeks, so come on Tuesday night, especially if you're experiencing, I'm not just talking about just regular stress, I'm talking about holiday stress. And we even specifically named it and put it in a special category. It's not like regular stress. I promise you it's not regular stress. This is something entirely different. We talked about it, and we're going to talk about it again this Tuesday night.